Hello, everybody. This is Adrienne M. Warren, aka AG Marie, the founder of Kandera's Pictures and the host of the Kandera's Pictures podcast. You are listening to the season 3 finale, and I am here with a special guest. I'm here with my mother, Allison.
Hello, everyone.
And she's a writer like myself, or I'm a writer like her, I guess you could say. So the reason that I guess we can kind of look at the camera because I'm going to put it on YouTube, too. So the reason that I'm interviewing my Bob is, I mentioned it before that the reason that I'm into a lot of classic movies is because of my mom, and other than just, I don't think I've ever specifically told you this, but like the Dorothy Dandridge movie was like the actual catalyst of all of this. So I always like telling everybody, my mom would order from Columbia House when they were still around, and she got that on VHS, so that just kind of opened the door to me. So, you want to talk about yourself, or you want to jump on into it?
Well, first of all, which movie was it?
What movie?
Introducing Dorothy, the biopic. Okay.
So, yeah, so I haven't talked about it much on the podcast, but, like when I started learning about the real Dorothy Dandridge, and I used to go to Nanny's house, my grandma's house, and watch TCM, waiting for a Dorothy Dandridge movie to come on. And of course, that never happened. It happens a lot more now, but that's when I started watching like Marilyn Monroe movies and Judy Garland movies, because I remember it being like in the summertime in June, and their birthdays were in June. So I started watching those movies back to back. So that's what kind of got me into it. But it goes all the way back to the Columbia House days when you got introduced to Dorothy Dandridge and The Wizard of Oz, which is my favorite movie of all time. Because I wore that out. And yeah, it was pretty much those two movies for me. But it kind of started way back before, because you still had movies like Imitation of Life and Breakfast at Tiffany's. I can't really remember watching that.
Yeah, I think Breakfast at Tiffany's was probably the first one we started watching together, because we watched it like over and over.
Okay, yeah. Because I remember. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that was one of the first ones that we together. Mm-hmm. Once I played it, you liked it. And you wanted to, you know, every once in a while you wanted to look at it again. So we watched it
a lot. Because I remember sometimes, I remember this more so with Imitation of Life, the second version, that you and Dave Regal watched it, my sister, watched it a little bit more than I did. Because I don't remember really paying attention to it. Because I was, I don't know, what's this movie? All these people crying all the time and all this stuff and yelling and everything. Yeah. So I wasn't like into it, but then like I think I finally watched it that one time and was traumatized for like 2 weeks. And then so I think still I hadn't quite fell in love with like film or classic film. To me that was just another movie, and it was a sad movie. And I remember it came on TCM like at Nanny's house, like about a month later, and the same thing happened. And then I remember Daddy gave me some warm milk. She was just like, just drink some of this and go to sleep. Well, yeah, so that's kind of like the beginnings for me. And I guess you could say for my sister, too. Because they really kind of veered off into theater, and yeah. I veered off into film. So now that we've kind of started that long intro, so let me jump into the questions. So how and when were you introduced to classic movies?
Okay, well, kind of similar to you, but it was Imitation of Life. I was about 6 years old, and back then, of course, you know, the only thing we had three channels then. There was no such thing as cable and all these different, you know, stations. And at that age then, we mostly looked at TV in the afternoon. Sesame Street in the mornings, during summertime, or Sesame Street in the afternoons, or maybe the Flintstones. Other than that, we were playing. We were outside. Mm-hmm. So I was about 6, and just like my daughter here did for a little while with me up until a certain age, I still like to sneak into bed with my mom. Even though I had my own bedroom, it was just me and I had 2 brothers, so I had my own room, my own bed. And every once in a while, I would ask my mom if I could go at nanny, if I could, you know, sleep with her. And so usually I would, you know, go to sleep. This particular night, news had gone off. So sometimes once news would go off, and I don't know if it was a weekend or what, but this movie came on. I usually don't, you know, I'm usually asleep. And for whatever reason, I think Nanny may have said something about the movie, like she remembered it or something. And so we're staying there watching, we're laying there watching, but she fell asleep. And that was the first time ever I stayed up late. I literally was so intrigued, but I think it was the color. Because we had just gotten probably our first color TV sometime before that. And a lot of shows were still in black and white. And the color was what initially caught my attention.
Because it's very pretty.
It's very, very, what they call in living color. It's very vivid color. Mm-hmm. So as a young child, that's what first caught my attention. The second thing that caught my attention was seeing kids my age, the 2 little girls that were, you know, a couple of the main characters were 2 little girls. One mixed and the other one white. And then the black maid. Mm-hmm. So those were the 3 things that caught me. The color was just what took me in. And then just watching it because of the color. But then, you know, these little girls my age. So Imitation of Life, by far, that's what the first movie. But I was just like you. I still really didn't get into the movies. I was actually traumatized. I won't say I was traumatized. But I watched it all the way through. And at the end, I was scared. Because by then, your grandmother had cut all the lights off. So the room was dark. She was knocked out asleep. So,
hold on 1 second. So if y'all can hear that, our dog has decided she wants to be a part of the podcast too. So I'm going to let her roll with it. But if she gets to be too much, then I'm sending her out. But
she needs attention now. So when we start talking to each other, she has to come in and get attention. So anyway, so I watched the whole movie. I really didn't remember anything really what the movie was about. Mm-hmm. The main thing I remember was the girls when they were small. I knew they grew up and there was a story, but I was too young to understand. But the end, at the end, the funeral.
Right.
So TV, after, if there was a movie after news, once a show went off or a movie went off after news, TV went off the air at that time.
Right.
The TV turned to snow.
National anthem.
So, yeah, the national anthem, then snow. Well, I'm scared out of my mind to get up and cut the TV off, so I had to wake up with Nanny. I was like, wake her up like, Mommy, like, TV is going off. And so she's looking like, you watched that whole movie? And I'm like, yeah. And so she was like, did it scare you? So she asked me something about being scared. Then, of course, she told other people about it later. But she gets up and cut the tea off. So that was my first experience being introduced. But I still went back to the same typical children's shows and all that. And I would say probably a couple of years down the road is when I really started getting, I guess I was about 8 or 9 by then, on Sundays. There was not a lot on TV. You didn't even have, other than football, wasn't even a lot of sports. So on Sunday afternoon, after church, if we came home, they would, one of the networks, ABC, CBS, or whatever, would always play old movies. And usually they were black and white or Shirley Temple movies. So that's, I love to look at the black and white movies. And they were usually Greta Garbo, Marlena Dietrich, I can't remember another one that was real popular, and she died early, but that's when I really started getting into old classics. On Sunday, after church, bored and ain't nothing else to do, you know, go outside and play, but I just got hooked on looking at those old movies, and then Shirley Temple. I love Shirley Temple because she was a kid, and then they tried to colorize her movies, and that looked crazy. But that's how I got into it. Sunday afternoon, as I, you know, got a little older, just nothing else was on TV, and I love those. Oh, I love Marlena Dietrich and what was the other one?
Greta Garbo.
Greta Garbo.
Betty Davis.
Jean, it might have been Jean Harlow. They all, for some reason, had these painted eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing in the 30s.
Yeah. And I liked that then. When I look at it now, I'm like, oh, that's crazy. But then I liked it, you know.
Because I think Lucy shaved hers completely off, and I think they never grew back.
Oh, boy.
So I think she started drawing hers, or like how we see it, they were drawn.
Well, they had drawn on, you know, they all had that same look. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really necessarily know them by name most of the time. I remember Marlena, and, you know, so that's how I got it, really started getting into classics that I wanted to see them.
All right, so before we get to the rest of the questions, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with a few more. So over the years, I know you mentioned Greta Garbo and Marlena Dietrich. So now, like coming to where you are now, who would you say are your favorite classic actors, like right now?
Well, classic to me would still always be those classic now from my time growing up in the 70s. I would say it would have to be Cicely Tyson.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a lot of those movies, or saw a lot of those movies.
So she wasn't in my time. She was in my time, so she wasn't classic.
Yeah.
But she's classic now. But growing up, I would say she's all-time favorite.
So that would lead me to my next question. Like, I was going to ask, who were the black actors that were just for you, just like, oh my God, like, that I want to be like them, or that's somebody interesting to me. So that probably be Cicely Tyson for you as well.
Mm-hmm. My childhood dream was to be an actress. Mm-hmm. And I had that desire from looking at classic movies, but she made it an even more stronger desire for so many reasons. One, being black, but not just that. Black, white, or whatever, hands down to me, she was the best actress. The craft of acting. I don't think anybody could touch her craft of acting, that she could just act so well. And I think, you know, with Sounder and Jane, the story of Jane Pittman, that was, because even then with Jane Pittman, there wasn't a whole lot of makeup like they put on her then. Mm-hmm. So that was revolutionary, period. Black, white, you know, it had nothing to do with even race or color. Just to see her pull off a 100-year-old woman was just phenomenal during that time. Mm-hmm.
And then when she got to like 90, she still ain't looking the older she did.
I know. Still look good. Yeah. Black don't crack.
So we're going to jump into a fashion question now. I kind of want to circle back to Imitation of Life.
Okay.
So I did want to ask you, I know growing up, whenever we watch movies, you always mention that, or even now, you still mention, I like looking at the clothes too. Mm-hmm. So for me, I have two fashion moments in classic movies that I love. So it's Dorothy Dandridge in the pink dress and Carmen Jones that had the hood and the black bird on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Lana Turner's white dress in Imitation of Life that has like the turquoise shoulder and then it comes out the back.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, what is the moment that just like sticks in your mind or just stands out?
I can't say that I have one moment. I would say the era that, for me then, because see then, like the Dorothy Dandridge movies, the black movies, weren't played like talking about on. It was just rare. I think it was years later, the first time I saw on one of those Sundays that a black movie with Lena Horne was played. So the 30s fashions, it was like looking at movies, everything was glamour. You could be at home. They just had home all day wearing gowns. Gowns and looking just beautiful and classy. So I would say the 30s look back to again, the Marlena Dietrich and all of them, just the gowns that they wore, the hairstyles. I love the 40s hairstyles.
Right. That's why I got this, because I like the 40s wavy looks.
Yeah, I like the 40s hairstyles, but I liked the 30s glamour. And then, you know, there is probably one, I just can't remember the movie or who the actress is, but a nice tailored, it's like a suit, but it's feminine, with a hat. You know, I love hats. So I was just into those just very classy, chic, I guess is the better word, like the real chic suits, like the pencil skirts and the form-fitting jackets, and then the hats. And whenever I saw something like that, I was mesmerized. So mainly anything where they had chic clothes on, glamour clothes, their hair was done, the makeup, you know, it was perfect. So the glamour was another reason, a big reason why I love looking at it. And sometimes, you know, being that young, I really don't know the whole storyline. I'm more following what they had on than it was just so glamorous and chic. But I love the sassy women, you know, and those, you know, those women that I named, they were the sassy ones. Rita Hayworth was the glamour, the beauty one. So I loved her. She was one of my favorites as far as class actors. When I think of a class, she would pop in my head because I really liked her.
Because you mentioned the 30s, I will say, even though I don't have a particular favorite Jean Harlow look, her overall look is my favorite from that decade. Mm-hmm. And then Rita Hayworth is my favorite from 1940s. Mm-hmm. And for me, it kind of changes a little bit. So
yeah. I think I like all of the fashion. I like each day. I just love fashion, and I like old fashion. I always said if I ever became famous, I would dress in 20s flapper clothes with the finger waves, you know. And I like the 60s. My favorite 60s look is the, I guess, the sheath dress. Like, the sleeve is just a straight, you always saw the straight dress.
Like,
And like Audrey Hepburn wore in pumps. My favorite shoes, you know, a nice sleek. They could wear some of the simplest fashions with pumps, and it just looks so chic and glamorous. So that was another look I really loved. I love pumps. I wore pumps at school, high school, every day, because they were just so glamorous to me.
Yeah, that was a complete opposite.
And I got it from watching those movies. Right. You know, I had to have pumps, blue pumps, black, or whatever color I could find them in.
Right.
You
know. Yeah. All right, so now what would you say is your favorite classic movie? So, like, studio era, 1920s to 1950s. Or we'll say 1960. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your favorite movie, if you can name one, from that era?
If I had to name one, it's going to be the first one that I saw, Invitation to Life. I mean, you know, that's whenever I see that question or get asked that question, hopefully nobody will go try to hack in on me, but if it's like a secret question or something, I can't upset them. I mean, if I choose the option, your favorite movie, then I go to Invitation to Life.
I don't know.
And not only that, if I use that, that's the first one that pops in my head. If it comes up, I know I'm not gonna forget. You know, mm-hmm. I can remember it too, because that's what always pops up in my head is Invitation to Life, because I think that's the first one that really, you know, hooked me.
Okay, so are there any classic actors or actresses that you think are underrated? Like somebody that you've maybe watched recently or watched a long time ago, but you don't hear people talking about them all the time? Like we hear about Marilyn Monroe all the time, mm-hmm. Katharine Hepburn, and so on and so forth. Who's somebody you don't think people talk about enough?
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I think because most of them, in their time and in their moment, did get their glory, you know, or, you know, did get that attention. I think, you know, who's not as long standing, I really can't say. Because when you talk about, we talk about Jeannie and Harlow and them, well, when I was a little bit younger, people still talked about them. Mm. I think as the generations are dying off, people just don't know about them. Mm. I think if I had to choose, it would be more the group of black actors from that time. Mm. And even for them, I think they still had their glory for as much as black actors could get at that time. But a lot of them, I honestly would have never known had you not studied them. Like Nana Mae McKinnon, is it Nana Mae? Freddie Washington. I think I may have heard her name a couple of times, but I probably thought it was Mae. Right, yeah. You know? So because the only black actors that I later would see every once on a blue moon on a Sunday would be Lena Horne. And, you know, Stormy Weather, that's about the biggest black show that they would play a few times. You know, of course, Nat King Cole, he was known, he was a singer. I didn't even know him as an actor until, you know, those certain movies. So I would say, I would have to say the black actors of that time would be.
So was, I guess we kind of answered this a little bit, maybe. Do you think exposing me and Deidre to classic movies, was that intentional, or was it just like something, it was just like, oh, well, I had these movies, so I might as well just show it to them, or was it just like a thing where, like, I want them to know this?
It was very intentional.
Okay.
It was very strategic. Very intentional.
You sound scared.
And second part, and the reason why it was intentional was also I wanted you all to experience and see what I saw. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, like Cicely Tyson, I wanted you all to experience, saw what I saw in the 70s when more black actors were, you know, like in the 70s, it's like, oh, if black people was on, just like on Crooklyn when they say black people on TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that really was true. That's how we responded as black people. Like, so it's all on TV. So, you know, it didn't matter what they were doing. They could have been in a commercial. You know, it was like when you saw black people on TV, you just call everybody to run to the room.
One TV.
You know? Exactly. One TV in the living room. And so, you know, it was very intentional that I wanted y'all to see, you know, that experience of those movies and see how good they were. I loved them. It was a part of my childhood. So, yeah, it was, I didn't expect it to affect y'all and for you all for it to take off, especially with you getting into film. You know, God knows all. He already knew that. But that wasn't really my intention to give out that idea. Mm-hmm. But I knew, you know, exposing it to you all would probably like them.
Yeah. All right, and so this question, have you recently made any shocking old Hollywood discoveries? Like, is there like a story that you heard and that you were just like, what? Oh, so, and it's been plenty for me.
I probably have and just can't remember them, like pop them off the top of my head. So I can't, I know I have, because I can recall having those kinds of reactions, like what or whatever. I think not very recent, but maybe a decade ago, just hearing about Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn. I mean, I knew they had a little thing, but I never knew they supposedly had this thing for so long. And, you know, just somebody supposedly giving up their life for somebody that won't go divorce their wife. That was like, what? Are you crazy? And then one thing that did shock me, it wasn't like some big crazy shocker, Joseph Cotten. I don't even know what made me, but I didn't know he was from Petersburg.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
That was so random when I
did. Yeah, I was like, okay. You know? And then the fact that he didn't get burned in Hollywood, he had them send his body back here to Petersburg, Virginia. I was like, what? So
we gotta find his grave mm-hmm. at one point.
And him, and just, it's always good when you hear it, just like Warren Beatty and his sister grew up in Richmond, you know, but, you know, I knew that a long time ago. You know, I actually was trying to find their house in Northside where they grew up.
I keep being to look up what their address was. Mm-hmm. Bojangles too, but...
Well, they tore.
I was about to say, that probably don't even exist where
his area was kind of right near where his statue is. Okay. So it's been, and then they put that highway through. So he lived right in where his statue is. It was kind of over in that area. I don't think the highway ran through it, but it's like right over there. Other houses or whatever are there, but it was right there up in that intersection where his statue is.
And it's funny because they talk about everybody else when I was in school that was in Richmond or had something to do with Richmond. We ain't gonna say who, but. Like, they didn't really talk about Bojangles a lot. Like, when we went on field trips, we didn't go there. So, that's one thing. There's, like, a lot of stuff that I learned about Richmond and, like, I guess the Confederacy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I never knew exactly where Bojangles lived. I never knew where Arthur Ashe lived and stuff like that. So, that was always interesting to me that, like so, I don't know where they lived. I knew it was Jackson Ward, but, like,
like I said, his Bojangles is right over there where his statue is, kind of like across the street on the opposite. I can't think it was there. Some kind of maybe a building or house. I can't remember. Arthur Ashe lived where the main post office is, so those houses are torn down.
Okay.
So that's why you really, unless you can find some old pictures of it, but where the post office is, that's where. You know, the houses were before he lived, before they built the post office.
That makes sense.
And I just learned, I won't live back then, y'all. I was not born back then.
I mentioned it because when we used to do field trips around Richmond, we did go to Maggie Walker's house and the Capitol and all these different places. Yeah. But though, like entertainers and sports people, they didn't really...
Because they could take you to those places because they still exist.
Right, yeah.
And but I learned about Arthur Ashe, I think it was either when, you know, they were doing something here locally, you know, on the news, and maybe I read it, but they showed it, you know, had some old pictures or whatever. And they actually told you that's where, you know, where they are, the U.S. Post Office is on the site where, you know, So that's how I learned.
That's funny trying to imagine houses right there, too. Mm-hmm. All right, so we got two more questions. So what are your favorite channels or apps to watch classic movies right now? This is kind of like a plug for, like, other people's businesses. That's not mine.
Well, ain't much to plug because every time I forget one, they end up... When I go back and look at a movie, it's gone.
So. I really think they be throwing those up illegally and they just can't take it down. Mm-hmm.
Keep them up there for as long as they can. So basically what I've done is gone through, I have Roku, so anything that says classic TV, classic romance movies, classic, it has classic. So I have all those apps and I go through them and see what's on there. One that's called TV Time that has a lot of the black and white ones. So pretty much anywhere where I can find, you know, apps, but I just look at classic. I know there's one classic TV, one that has Golden Era of Hollywood or Golden Age of Hollywood. But sometimes they don't have all the best. They have a lot of B movies too. But basically sometimes I just search by the actor. So like one of my favorite classic actors that I didn't get to see as many of her movies growing up because I think it probably was my teens before I started seeing movies on TV was Bette Davis. Mm-hmm. So she's by far probably became one of my favorite. I love her. It's like Cicely Tyson. She's a great actress. Mm-hmm. She was very popular, but she is a phenomenal actress. So sometimes I'll just put the name in. I don't search for it. I put the name in and see what comes up, you know, what movies come up, and I just try to find those movies because she has so many more movies than I realized that I didn't get to see that I have seen some that are just, she's exceptional. She always plays that, what do you call it? Some kind of dom.
Femme fatale,
you know, she always plays those roles. Grand dom. I was thinking grand dom, but.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah,
you know, she plays those strong roles or femme fatales or somebody always sneaking and doing something she got no business doing. So yeah, I really love her. But I just look, you know, I just look up the name if I want to see, you know, Lana Turner movie. I just, you know, put her name and see, you know, what's what. But Betty Davis is probably one that I probably will research the most.
All right, so the last question is, what was the last classic movie you watched?
Can't remember the name, but probably Betty Davis. I think probably about three of hers, two or three movies of hers that
what
I
was this?
Just, that's been a while. Last, end of last summer.
Oh, the ones we watched.
Some we watched, and then I think I watched a couple of them by myself. I don't remember the name of those movies.
I know we watched. What's the one where she was like frumpy, and then she got the makeover and all that stuff. We'll figure it out. It was that. Yeah,
but I watched another one. I know I watched it by myself, but it wasn't something else where she was up to no good, trying to get rid of.
Oh, you watched The Letter, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. But I
that's my favorite.
Yeah, no, I watched The Letter when I was younger, but I watch it again because being that young, you don't really, you know, understand what you just remember bits and pieces, and you don't really know what's really going on. Mm-hmm. But no, this was one where she was just a wild child, and you know,
that's narrowing
down. Having an affair was with one man, had an affair with another one, then they trying to kill this one, then she trying to kill, you know, it was good.
Was it set in present time? Like, well,
no, I think she was a wife, but she was a bored wife. So it was the one I watched, she's in a small town, it's a small sleepy town, and you know, she has energy that, you know, she just one of those people that can't be in a sleepy town because she's too, you know, hyped up. And so, and I think she did have a husband, but she was just bored stiff. So she was out sneaking around and, you know, of course, everybody knowing she don't care to her. You know? So, yeah, I love Betty Davis. And I've probably looked at something a little bit more modern since
then. Did watch Of Human Bondage.
Yeah, I tried to watch. I started watching Shampoo.
Black Shampoo.
Black Shampoo, which I had never heard of, and but that wasn't a classic when I was growing up. So it's a classic now, you know. And that was like, I was like, what? I didn't know what this stuff was about.
I read the description. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. And I fell asleep on that. It was just like, okay.
Well, those are all the questions we had today. So thank you for sitting down with me. And
I didn't tell you my other story about the second part, Imitation of Life story.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to tell this story about Imitation of Life because it was my favorite. Because it struck me, as I've said, it struck me so much, I never forgot that movie. So for years, I kept wanting to see it, didn't know the name of it. I was too young to know the name of it. Like I said, there was no cable. Cable finally came out. So now remember, I was 6 when I saw this movie. It never came on any like Sunday movies. Because usually they were showing the ones from the 30s, like really old black and white stuff. And in high school, they started, I think it was NBC. So, now this is funny. NBC started this program every morning, weekday morning, called That's Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And so that was their theme song, was That's Entertainment. And so every weekday morning about 10 o'clock, I think, they would show an old movie. It could be the 30s, 40s, 50s, you know, sometimes 60s. And I literally would skip school. That's how much I love classic movies.
Oh, man, who listens to this?
Well, it's too late now.
I'm sitting there to
so, I mean, I would skip school every day. But if on Sunday night or the night before, they would advertise what movie was going to be playing, and it was one that I wanted to see, or in a particular actor I wanted to see, I would just sneak and act like I'm going to school.
Oh, you had a key. I was like, how did you get back in the house?
Well, you said Nana was gone before us anyway. Oh, so it was my brothers I had to deal with. So they did. That was one thing they didn't tell on me. They used to tell on everything else I did. But and so I literally would sneak and stay home just to see a classic movie or a particular actor in that classic movie. And so I always kept saying, you know, oh, but when are they gonna play that movie with those little girls? You know, and I didn't know the name of it. So cable comes out, and it wasn't TMC, but I think maybe TNT played Clap. One of them that doesn't play, they changed from being Clap, but it was a network.
Or AMC, maybe?
I don't even know if AMC was.
TCM just celebrated their anniversary. They didn't start till like 95,
okay.
I think.
Okay, so, but this was, I guess, the late 80s. I know it was 18 years because, and it could have been Fox, because Fox was a new network. And being a new network, they didn't have a lot of programs. And so sometimes on weekday mornings, they had an hour, I believe, I think, if I remember it correctly, it could have been Fox, that they played an old movie. Okay. So it was either Fox or it was a cable station. All I know is, so probably one day, Papa, my stepdad, he's gone on now, but I kept saying, and it was just, the older I got, the more I was like, I want to see this movie again. I really want to see this movie again. Like, and I don't know the name of it. Right. So, Papa, he knew everything. Music, singers, you know, he was into everything. So, I was telling him, I said, you know, Herman, it's this movie. I said, I don't know the name of it. I said, I saw it when I was like real small, 6 years old, blah, blah, blah. And I said, it was these two little girls. It was a white girl. The other one was mixed. And she had a black mama. And he's like, oh, that sounds like Imitation of Life. That's Imitation of Life. And I'm like, what? Because it talks so fast. I'm like, what? He said, Imitation of Life. I said, oh, that's the name of it. Lo and behold, as soon as he told me, I swear it was probably within a week or at least within a month.
Okay,
it wasn't long. I happened to, it must have been a cable channel. And they play old movies. And I just happened to sit down and look at TV, and the commercial came on advertising that they were going to be showing it. But it still wasn't going to be until like some days. They actually said Imitation of Life. I was like, oh my God! Oh my God! So I can't remember if it was summer. It had to be summertime. But I was like, I got to see this movie. I said, that's the movie. That's the movie, you know. And I was babysitting Zebra, Charity, and Tally. So then I was dating your dad. So I go to run over your daddy's house now. I left Zebra at the house when I left the kid, but Tally was a little bit older.
So I run.
Then the car won't stop when I'm coming back, and I got these kids in the house. Y'all, I'm going to jail. This was late 80s. But Tyler was probably by then 11 or 12, I don't know. But in any event, so I get home because all I can think about, I'm so mad now because I've been waiting 18 years. That's all I kept thinking. 18 years I've been waiting to see this movie again. And so I get back home, and just I thank God, Rachel had stopped by, so I was there by myself. I had to call Grandpa over and everything to come and get the car started. I said, that's what I get for leaving the house. But I was like, worried about the kids and worried about the movie. But anyway, so I get home, and, you know, we good. So Zebra, so I told Zebra, I said, this movie coming on. I said, somehow I told her about it, but she was sitting there, and I said, I've been waiting 18 years for this movie. And so Zebra, she was young. She probably was 8, 9, maybe a little bit older. I'm not sure. But she was just like me. She was charity. She, you know, she was like me. She could care less what she was playing. And Zebra was like I was when I was, you know, 6. She was just like, the whole time we didn't move, we didn't go to the bathroom. And so we watched that movie all the way through. And when we finished, Zebra was just sitting there. She was just like, it was so funny because I saw her have that same experience. And I said, did you like it? She said. So, yep, 18 years for me to get the name of the movie. Let alone see it again, just even to know the name. You know, so anyway, I just had to share that story.
And I do. You mentioned Nanny saying something. She had like a story about it, but I remember her telling me it was the last movie she saw with her sister.
Oh yeah, I think she did tell me.
Passed away like the next year. Mm-hmm. She was like, was she like 14, 15? Her sister?
16. Yeah. They were only like maybe a year apart or something like that.
So but, that's like, that just, that movie just has like a history.
I do, and now that you said that she, because I remember when it came on when I was 6, the way she was like, oh, you know, I remember her making some kind of exclamation or reaction to it, but she fell asleep. So,
which is what she probably would have done. But I was on that when she watched it. Because I remember when I watched it with her, or we watched it, she was sewing. Uh-huh. And I know if she wasn't sewing, she probably would have been to bed. Well, yeah. So that is the episode. Thank y'all so much. Again, that is the season finale.
Thank you for having
me. Yeah, thank y'all for watching on YouTube. I will have more information and updates about the Patreon, about season 4, and I did announce that we're going to have a summer series coming up, the Star of the Week summer series, so be sure to look out for that. Subscribe to the channel. And that's all for today. Again, thank y'all so much for tuning in, and I will see y'all sometime in the fall.